3. In the moth-ridden darkness of night, a dim wind stirred, chill and faint. Dense underbrush rattled metallically. Here and there a nocturnal rodent prowled, its senses hyper-alert, peering, planning, seeking food. The area was wild. No human settlements existed for miles. The entire region had been seared flat, cauterized by repeated H-bomb blasts. Somewhere in the murky darkness, a sluggish trickle of water made its way among slag and weeds, dripping thickly into what had once been an elaborate labyrinth of sewer mains. The pipes lay cracked and broken, jutting up in the night darkness, overgrown with creeping vegetation. The wind raised clouds of black ash that swirled and danced among the weeds. Once an enormous mutant wren stirred sleepily, pulled its crude protective night coat of rags around it, and dozed off. For a time, there was no movement. A streak of stars showed in the sky overhead, glowing starkly, remotely. Earl Perrine shivered, peered up, and huddled closer to the pulsing heat element placed on the ground between the three men. "Well?" Morrison challenged, teeth chattering. O'Neill didn't answer. He finished his cigarette, crushed it against a mound of decaying slag, and, getting out his lighter, lit another. The mass of tungsten, the bait, lay 100 yards directly ahead of them. During the last few days, both the Detroit and Pittsburgh factories had run short of tungsten, and in at least one sector their apparatus overlapped. This sluggish heap represented precision cutting tools, parts ripped from electrical switches, high-quality surgical equipment, sections of permanent magnets, measuring devices, tungsten from every possible source, gathered feverishly from all the settlements. Dark mist lay spread over the tungsten mound. Occasionally, a night moth fluttered down, attracted by the glow of reflected starlight. The moth hung momentarily, beat its elongated wings futilely against the interwoven tangle of metal.